again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, and obviously yesterday was a bit long, so we'll try to be a bit shorter today, but I have noticed that my website, the family site, has some traffic that it doesn't normally get, specifically from Tennessee. I wonder what motivated that. Let me think, what could it be? Well, you will notice my title today is in reference to grooming. Why would that be? Well, the email I got from Mr. Cross indicated that Susanna didn't want to open the box that I sent to her, and that there was the kids did not want to talk to me, and various things that were said, which again I offered some question about the veracity of that. But the issue is, if assuming these things have transpired and there is a desire to isolate the dad, there's a technical term for that. It's become very popular of late. It's called grooming. Grooming is the idea of, you know, obviously grooming your hair, grooming your beard, which is obviously something I very poorly do. But it's also grooming your mentality, the mentality of, and as I point out, if you go to Operation Underground Railroad's website, it's on the Chauffeur Leaks. Well, actually, I even have it on Kozlowska.org. The chocolate cake video I did, I point specifically to the website, and I have an image of it where they directly state the majority of those caught in the sexual indiscretions were groomed, not kidnapped. So, in other words, you take somebody and you mold into their character particular characteristics, specifically willingness to engage in less than ideal sexual activity. So this is the grooming process. This is why, again, my reference to Drag Queen Story Hour, because that's grooming. And when the government schools put into the libraries things that, when I was a kid, if you showed that kind of picture, you would be not looked at well, because those things are pornographic, and it's inappropriate. But now they're put into elementary school libraries in order to teach young kids about these things. And I mean, not just in the libraries, these are taught in the classrooms now. Obviously, very strongly in the places like California. But the question is, is it coming here? Well, I think yes, indeed, because you can see there has been some contention about that in various school districts here in Tennessee, and I believe in even North Carolina. Is it in Christian schools? Why not? It just changed the flavor a bit. You know, and again, I would suggest one of the ways that you would see this is rather than the extreme overt that you would see, you know, where they have the elementary school textbooks where they show two men engaging in sexual activity. Drawings that show it quite directly, showing like anal intercourse. I mean, for elementary school kids. So you have those kind of drawings, but the Christian community says, oh no, we don't go that far. What we'll do is we'll say that's bad, but we will give license in other areas. And, you know, because one of the things, I had a discussion with Chris today. We discussed a lot of things. We discussed a number of things, and one of the issues we've discussed for years is the Romans 14 idea. Because in Romans 14, we are basically commanded to give license to each other on things that are flexible, in the sense that if you know, maybe you don't eat pork, maybe I don't drink alcohol, and it's not that either one of them, there's license. I think we can clearly see there's license. But on the other hand, we can also decide, no, it's not right, because we can also see the possibility of a prohibition. And you can argue these things. So if I say yes or no to alcohol or to pork, this is a really secondary issue. It's not a grievous sin that you're concerned about. It is more of a debatable issue. And I don't think anybody will say, okay, you've eaten pork, you're worse than a murderer. I know it's not that kind of thing. You know, there is, in the case of alcohol, there is clear license. You know, drink a little wine for your stomach, as Paul wrote. But there is the idea of don't get drunk on wine. At the same time, you know, there's this license when Jesus is calling all foods clean, or the incident in Acts, you know, the sheep coming down with the kill and eat stuff. So you have two places where it's argued, and I would agree, that pork's fine. But just like with alcohol, I can pig out and pig and overindulge, and I become a glutton. And gluttony is not fine. So, you know, there is, I mean, it's an offensive word, moderation. Ooh, I hate saying that. with moderation, you can eat pork, you can drink alcohol. With excess, neither one is permissible. But in moderation, you can decide, I'm going to abstain. And if that's your lifestyle choice, because it, you know, in the case of alcohol, it used to be mine, it isn't anymore. But that's, so what? So Romans 14 gives us license. And of course, license in order to encourage one another. And if you're sitting there with your, or if I'm sitting there with my pork sandwich and you don't like pork, well, I'm going to not eat pork. Because I don't want to eat pork, well, especially around you, or I don't want to give you the impression, oh, I eat pork when I'm not around you. That's, you know, I'm still saying, you know, I'm giving you a false front. So if I have a friend, someone that I'm close to that is really concerned about pork, I don't eat pork. Right? I mean, that I would suggest is Romans 14. But there is the idea of 1 Corinthians 5. And places like that, you know, because this is where, you know, we have the line that I have used about, for whatever you do, judging those outside, do you not judge those within, and judge those without God, put away the evil, and judge those without God, put away the evil from among yourselves. This is the LSV. But starts with, I wrote you not to keep company with him, if anyone being named a brother may be a whoremonger, a covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, an extortioner, do not even eat together with such a one. So Romans 14 says we have license. We have license to eat with somebody or not eat with some. Well, we have license to engage a fellowship with somebody if we disagree in the pork question, we disagree in the alcohol question, we disagree on whether, you know, we should meet together on Sunday or Saturday or you know, Thursday or whatever, or at irregular intervals, whatever it is. If we disagree on that, fine, we still have fellowship. This is specifically no fellowship with, you know, the ESV is a little bit easier. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not mean all sexually immoral of this world, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world or the greedy or the swindlers, idolaters, since you would need to go out of the world. But I'm writing you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of a brother and is guilty of sexual immorality, greed, or is an idolater, reveler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat one with such a one. So it's a little bit more readable in English. But the point is, I can go out to the world and have friends, and I have had friends, you know, well, Lynn and Gary, for example, and I can talk about them because they're both dead. And they've had sexual issues and drunken things of that nature. They did those kind of things. And I had no problem associating with them. I try to reflect Christ to them, to love them well. But, you know, but there was this, oh, yeah, we believe in God, but there's not that. There's a difference when somebody says, I believe in God, and someone says, yes, I'm a follower of Christ. But anyway, so there was no problem with that relationship. If I have a relationship with somebody who says, yes, I'm a follower of Christ, I'll see you Sunday morning in our big institution. And I'm going to bring this girlfriend this week and the next girlfriend next week kind of thing in because we're having a great time. There's a problem there. And, you know, this is where you are called to judge. Judge. This is the idea of discerning. It's not the idea of condemning. I do think that's one of the things that's important. To judge is to discern. This is right. This is wrong. Not that I'm going to offer a condemnation. And I do think one of the things we pointed out today, there is the idea of a penalty, you know, because of a discernment, because of a judgment. But the only penalties that the Lord commands is death and restitution. So, you know, if somebody is having sexual indiscretions, within context, there is the death penalty. But it's a little difficult to implement that. If they're stealing, the context would be restitution is in order. But there's a difference in both cases of this is what's in order. This is the judgment you can make. But then to enforce that, it's not, in most cases, it's not there. We do not have the ability to enforce. We have the ability to judge, but not enforce, not to actually implement necessarily. And of course, this is where the idea of, you know, if you live in a community of followers of Christ and there is a person within that community who, for example, commits murder, the whole objective there is, you know, you all gather stones and stone that person to death because then it's the community, not an individual that is taken. Anyway, been through all that kind of stuff. But the point is, there's a difference between the Romans 14 and things like the 1 Corinthians 5, where I can have fellowship in one case, I'm not supposed to in another. And what I find fascinating is what we do is we get weak on where those lines are. We may get excessive on, oh, pork eater, huh? Or we get weak on, oh, well, you're divorced and remarried. 1 Corinthians 7 and Romans 7 is unambiguous about that. It is adultery. And so in places like specifically MetaView, as I've pointed out before, says, well, that's okay. It happens kind of thing. You got a problem. So you are twisting scripture. So we get the whole point of all that is we can look and say, oh, the world is doing bad things by grooming our kids to point them to inappropriate sexual activity. But then we gather on Sunday morning and say, hey, you know, they're remarried, but no big deal. What's the difference? What is the difference between allowing for remarriage, which, you know, Mark 10, for example, and saying, oh, that's fine, and saying, oh, we cannot allow this teaching of anal intercourse for our kids. It's inconsistent, isn't it? If one is bad, so is the other. So why not be consistent? Oh, we don't want to go there because that may have an impact on a whole bunch of our leadership, which is obviously true in the case of MetaView. I don't know about Covenant Presbyterian, but there are issues here. So I found that a fascinating discussion, but yeah, I don't want to get along. Anyway, but something more important, something more relevant. Obviously, what I did yesterday was very long, and I ended up taking a clip of the last, you know, because that was 47 minutes, and I took a clip of like 14 minutes. Highly compressed it, so it's, you know, tiny little, well, you know, or you can, but anyway, it's really small enough to fit in an email. 14-minute video that that you can attach into an email. And I've actually, if you go on yesterday, you'll see there's a thing called Clip, where so it's there so somebody else can download it and use it to share in their email or whatever. Because I would suggest it's a rather poignant. And when I went through it again, I figured, hey, you know, I think I've pretty much hit a whole bunch of things that makes that 14 minutes extremely valuable. So that was sent last night to a lot of people, a large number of people, and specifically to the leadership, the elders at Covenant Presbyterian Church, with, again, as the request was made yesterday, if you believe in the Bible, if you believe Matthew 5:24 was correctly interpreted yesterday, drive down the street, come to my door, and pursue reconciliation. I mean, I made that request clear. So that was sent out to a large number of people. And obviously, you know, that would include Jim Cross, for example. And so my guess is maybe tomorrow I'll get a response. I mean, last time Jim Cross took like 2 days to respond to me. So maybe I'll get a response. Maybe he'll simply say, I got to stop this, and crawl into his corner again like he's done before and disappear for 2 years. But the door is open. There's two other things. One of the other things is, in the email to me, he talked again about how Susanna says she didn't want to open the box and how the other kids didn't want to talk to me. And this is where I go back to the grooming idea. I would suggest the reason that may indeed be true, I can only take by suggestion by what was written, because I have no direct evidence, because for some reason I haven't seen my kids in a while. If that is true, I would suggest it's because of grooming. In other words, they were guided into saying, oh, Dad's bad. You don't want to talk to Dad. I'm going to remind you of a whole lot of things and maybe even seed in your mind a whole bunch of things like, Dad's bad. Don't talk to Dad. We don't want it. We want no relationship with Dad because Dad is bad. That would be called grooming. And what's the difference between that and teaching them about anal intercourse? I would suggest basically nothing. Not a polite thought. But, so the implication was, no, the direct statement was, in our phone calls, they felt I was uninterested. So I'm leaving you links to three sets of pictures that were roughly, these were 2013. All of them were 2013. So a year after, all of them 2013. So a year after my wife abandoned me, photos from, you know, for example, the photo of Walter, kind of a bouncy walk into the post office in order to get things like the birthday card from his dad. There is the picture of Zadok opening the mailbox to get, well, the happy birthday card from his dad. And then there's the other one, which is what I'm using as the image today, celebrating the freedom to send mail to Dad, Gloria Jean. So, a year after I was abandoned, we have, you know, especially the direct evidence from Gloria Jean celebrating the, quote, freedom to send mail to Dad. And you can look at some of the other things from that, some of the photos. You can see, I love you, Dad, from Gloria Jean. Delightful photo. This seems inconsistent with the idea that the kids don't want to talk to you. I would suggest there's either grooming that has occurred over the last 11 years, or somebody's lying. It'd be interesting to find out, wouldn't it? So I'm going to leave that before you, because obviously when we talk about Susanna, I got a postcard that went to Susanna. The voicemail photo yesterday shows my friend, who is a champion runner at the National Senior Games. This is a not too long ago. this was actually sent July 14th, and so to get it back in 2 weeks is impressive. And of course, photo from the day before, which is what the card was related to, is you see these people lining up for a race, and the woman on the left in the gray is Miss Lillian. You know, my friend, who is the national champion, gold medal winner at the 1500 meter race for the 90 plus bracket, since she's 94. So there's this 94-year-old lady who shows constant delight every time with me, every time we have an interaction. It's not interaction with the crowd, it's interaction just her and I. But these other girls, for example, this young girl, Gloria Jane, at the time, who was celebrating the freedom to send mail to Dad, now doesn't want to talk to me. And if she's been isolated from me for years, and if there's any truth to the idea that they don't want to talk to me, may I suggest grooming? What's his name? Anyway, what's the difference between grooming them in that way and grooming them with drawings of men having anal intercourse? It's not a polite question, but it is a serious question. So, just one last thought. I was doing some software today, fortunately, because yesterday I didn't do basically any, but I did get back to software today. And you know, one of the joys I have is you work on something even sometimes for years, and suddenly, oh, that makes it so much easier. And I had another one of those actually it came, I think, yesterday. I was implementing that today because I am trying to, again, do it so the email service that Shelfware Nexus provides has a whole lot of characteristics to break past censorship, to allow for security features, privacy, and those kind of things. Because obviously, you know, I find it so fascinating because I do have a Gmail account, the Shelfware Leaks Gmail account, which is a I use very rarely, but I use it often for tests. And so when I send an email to it using Shelfware Nexus, it'll show, because at this point I don't have things like encryption, and it'll come up with a little flag and whatnot and say this mail isn't encrypted, and it gives you, it's that false front. Because I mentioned in one of my previous videos on Shelfware Leaks or Shelfware Nexus, where Google made a big deal about the fact that now all their communications in email is secure. So they're secure communications. And I pointed out, so what? It doesn't matter. It's not worth the hell of beans. Because, you know, if I send from my email server to your email server, and your email server is Gmail, when it gets to Gmail's email server, it gets decrypted, and they have it. It's useless. It's useless to hide it from Google. And that's the people you want to hide it from, is Google. Proton Mails is basically the same way. Unless you have a client where it's on your machine, then it's not end-to-end encryption. You need to have it on your machine. And so there are techniques that is one of the points behind the design of Shelfware Nexus is, yes, I can have an online server, And my email is indeed secure, end-to-end encryption, even though the end is in the cloud somewhere, because it's my sole machine. Or, you know, it actually can be shared. But the it's not that others within that machine have access. It uses it's a way to provide that end-to-end security, even though my end is in the cloud. And it's not shared with anybody else. It's you and you alone. Anyway, and it's not expensive. It's a simple way to do it. So it's those kind of techniques that I'm putting in place. But one of the other focuses is obviously email lists. And considering what's happened in recent days with the interaction with Jim Cross and now the emails that have gone out to various people at Covenant Presbyterian. See, part of the objective behind Shofar Leaks, protecting the whistleblower, seeking reconciliation and those kind of things, protecting the sex slaves or freeing the sex slave, is you need ways for private communications. You also need ways to say, look, this happened. Look, I want to show it to you. You know, when I, in the modern day slavery video, I talk about you may have some information you want to get out, and you have to be careful that when you get it out, that it's not in a single place, so it can be taken down. So there's techniques of how to distribute it, but then there's also, okay, now I want to get this stuff out. And I need to get it out, and especially if I want to get it out where it's coming out over one day after the next. So there are some techniques. I'll just leave it at that at the moment. There are techniques to say, I'm going to send out some, the one example would be your Joe News reporter, and I'm going to send you some information, and you say, okay, I don't want to hear from this person because I don't want to know about this. So I'm going to block that email account. And then the next part of the, let's say you're sending something out in five parts. So they block the first one, but the second one comes from somewhere else. So they block the second one. And then the third one comes from someone else. This is a technique that will be kind of frustrating. So apply that, for example, you are, leadership of an institutional church. And, maybe there's an issue that the leadership has done or is doing that they may not want the congregation to know about. And can you imagine what could happen if someone were to broadcast that to the congregation and use techniques where, especially if it's, here it comes, here's part two, here's part three, and here's some more, and it's hard to shut down. I would suggest this, you might consider this an act of war or a serious act to pursue reconciliation. So because of the circumstances, maybe some of that has gone up in priority. Maybe because one of the things I've been working on is a set of accounts to do tests. I'm thinking of also having a mailing list, for example, for people interested in development using Shofar Nexus. So it would be dev.shofarnexus.com. Somebody who's interested in the economic aspect, the business model. So it may be business or bit bus dot whatever. As the primary place to go to say, here, I want to sign up or and so forth. There is also the idea of, family.kozlowski.org or promise.kozlowski.org. That's probably what it would be. Promise.kozlowski. So my promise emails would go out, maybe not just to my family, but to anyone who wants to get them. And of course, it does have the mechanic saying, oh, you've got this. Well, now you can manage your account, saying, yes, well, I don't want it, or add this person. So, you know, I can go out and directly say, I want to add somebody. Oh, but then there's more. You know, because one of the things that I think is important is if I'm someone who is sending out an email, I also don't want to know all the details about who's getting what. So there are techniques where I can, you know, somebody can sign up or is signed up to a list and they want to recommend somebody else. But that someone else doesn't come from me, so I don't know what's happening. You know, it gets echoed. Techniques like that. Or there's other techniques of using. Anyway, there are a variety of techniques. So me as the sender, I don't know how many people receive it, which again is an important part of the, you know, this anonymity aspect. So there's a whole lot of these things that are, and unfortunately, it takes a lot of time to think these through. It'd be great to be able to bounce some of these things off of people, but you know, again, I'm scary. I'm the wrong side of the NSA. Woo! The voicemail from yesterday, especially that clip, is provocative. It was sent out to a bunch of people, and I really don't know how many have heard it, but I do know the number's not zero. My lady, my wife, I'm trying to demonstrate stamina. And, you know, remember that pro-life guy who said, oh, I'm going to take this stuff seriously? I'm taking reconciliation seriously. My lady, my wife, I love you and I want you back.